My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the readings from today's Holy Mass speak to us of the gift of faith, which is founded in and fed by the Eucharist. Faith is a virtue as well as a gift of the Holy Spirit, and practiced as a virtue, it protects us against the hostile attitude of willful doubt, which is, for a person who has received the gift of faith, a sin against the Holy Spirit. The readings today speak to us also of faith in the sign of Christ's presence, which is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is the source and summit of the life of the Church, which our Lord gave us for the life of the world. What is faith? As I said, it's a gift from God, and at the same time, it is also the free assent of the intellect to revealed truth. In order to grow in faith, we must rely on prayer and on our own personal efforts. As always, the subject of faith is very pertinent to our day. It's pertinent to every time in history because it's necessary for salvation. It's a fundamental need of every person who God has created for himself and for love and for eternal life. At some time in history, it seems, at other times in history, it may seem that faith was stronger, was more prevalent and widespread. In our day, faith is very much under attack. Truth itself is under attack, not even necessarily divinely revealed truth, but that's always the ultimate object of the evil one, to attack that truth which saves. But so far advanced is the diabolic offensive against that divinely revealed truth that it's reached the point of even undermining the very foundations of our ability to receive and practice the faith, because even truth itself is undermined. I would like to look at the gospel today and kind of just pick it apart and see how it reflects on our day and time. First, it begins this way. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" So the selection from the Gospel of John today begins with this doubt that the Jews are expressing. And we know from other parts of the Gospel that oftentimes that doubt that they expressed is not a simple doubt of a reasonable appearance of a conflict or a contradiction, but a lot of times it is a willful hostility towards the truth. And they fail to recognize Jesus, and they don't have faith in him, and that's the reason why they can't believe. A little farther down, as our Lord explains them, well, first of all, he chides them. He corrects them. He says, "Stop murmuring among yourselves." And that's a lesson to all of us because, as I said, I want to show how what happens here in today's gospel is very relevant to what's going on today amongst us, that is, amongst Christians and among Catholics. This doubt that becomes at some point willful and an act of the will, a certain resistance to the truth and a rejection of the faith. Because as the Jews here fail to realize who Jesus is, fail to have faith in him, who is sent by God, the Messiah, the promised one, in their midst, and yet they don't recognize him and they don't believe him. It's interesting because Jesus is the truth. Jesus himself told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then he proved it in so many ways, but most decisively and definitively through his resurrection. And yet, we're at a point before all of that has transpired. And still, Jesus is the Son of God and is the truth, and he is telling them the truth. And they're looking at the Messiah, who they've been waiting for, the people of Israel have been waiting for centuries. And they don't recognize the truth, and they don't embrace it. So it is possible, then, to be scandalized by the truth. The Jews were scandalized on more than one occasion by things that Jesus said. And what we're hearing today, the beginning of the discourse on the bread of life, was one of those points of scandal. And so many of his disciples, even those who had been following him up to that point, lost courage and turned away. So if it is possible to stand before the Messiah and hear him speak the truth, hear him tell that he is sent by the Father in heaven, and still not believe what he says, it shouldn't be any surprise then that today many Catholics hear the Church, which is the sacrament of Christ's presence amongst us till the end of the world, and which speaks the truth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Many hear this word, many who have received the gift of faith, who've been baptized, but who are not practicing the faith fully. And hearing the truth, begin to doubt. And when that doubt becomes an act of the will, a rejection, then that becomes a grave sin. And unfortunately, there are many Catholics who are committing this sin, whether they realize it or not. When the Church gives a teaching and we don't assent to that teaching, then we're, in a certain sense, rejecting Christ, just like the Jews who are here in today's gospel passage, hearing the truth and not believing. And our Lord explains the seriousness of this fault. He says, everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. We could update that phrase to include the Church. Everyone who listens to the Father in the heaven and learns from him comes to the Church. And the logical extension of that is, whoever does not come to the Church, does not listen to the Father, and does not learn from the Father. And that's a very serious thing. If a person refuses the truth, then they refuse the means of salvation. And our Lord, at another part of the gospel of St. John, underscores just how evil this is. In chapter 8, he says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you who I know believe, who hear the Father, and who listen and learn. It's not enough to just hear a truth. That doesn't equal learning. Learning implies a change of behavior. And so when we hear the Father and learn from him, we are converted. We convert and we turn to Jesus. And today, since Jesus has established the church as his sacrament of salvation, as the continuer of his mission of salvation and of teaching and preaching the gospel, this principle means that we turn to the church. Full conversion means recognizing the church as the sacrament of Christ's presence today in the world and all that the church teaches. This strikes me as so significant because, as I said, there are Catholics today who doubt various aspects of the church's teaching, particularly when it comes to moral doctrine. We have Catholics who publicly declare themselves to be Catholic and yet flatly contradict what the church teaches. And I can only assume that that's because they don't believe what the church teaches, that they are openly rejecting some aspect of what Christ has imparted to us. And therefore, it would seem, and I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, but to any Catholics who are hearing this, perhaps via YouTube, because as I said, I believe that you all accept everything that the church teaches. But for those Catholics who don't, we have to encourage them to really hear what our Lord is saying. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. And then later on, as he gives his teaching on the Eucharist, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever believes in me, whoever believes everything that the church teaches, because it's what Christ teaches. Whoever believes in the doctrine of the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in that bread that is consecrated and becomes his flesh and blood, then you will have eternal life. And conversely, if you don't believe fully and give your assent to the truth taught by the church, then you will not have eternal life. You may come forth and receive the sacred host, but if you haven't given your assent and your humble and sincere and docile assent to what the church teaches, then that communion may be a sacrilege and may be actually not salvific, but for your condemnation. Certainly, St. Paul speaks very clearly that he who does not believe or who comes and eats, who receives communion unworthily, eats a condemnation against himself. And so, out of love for our brothers and sisters who are in this state of partial or full refusal of the truth, in a state of heresy or apostasy, at least materially, it behooves us, out of charity, out of love for our Lord, and out of love for our neighbor, to begin to be more fervent witnesses to the truth, and to practice charity and that spiritual work of mercy, of fraternal correction, always in the spirit of love. But we should be more motivated, because so much is at stake. Salvation itself. So, brothers and sisters, we ourselves must never underestimate the gift that we have of faith, and we must never underestimate the gift that we have in the Holy Eucharist. And because our Lord gave everything, gave himself fully for our redemption, and willed to continue that redemption to the end of time, and made that possible through creating the church as the visible sacrament of his salvation, maintained and spread through Holy Communion, through the Eucharist, through his presence. And since that's the whole point of our being here, that is, to be saved so that we can enjoy eternal life, that should become a central motive of all that we do. And we have to overcome this lethargy, this spiritual lethargy that grips almost the entirety of humanity, where the evil that surrounds us, we just kind of live with it almost indifferently. For all those brothers and sisters in Christ who yet are not practicing the faith and thus are jeopardizing their own souls, let us seek through the practice of our own faith, which means more prayer and more good works, let us begin to reach out. The Holy Fathers, the Popes, especially since the Second Vatican Council, have urged time and again that we must evangelize, begin the new evangelization. And I believe that means that each of us has to do more to go out and to reach out to all people, but particularly beginning with those Catholics who are wayward and failing to live the faith. Hopefully we can reach them, and then through them begin to reach out beyond the confines of the visible church to bring all into the church as our Lord wills. The popes have also pointed to our Blessed Mother as the star of the new evangelization, and she is the mother of the church. Let us entrust to her this intention, this prayer. Let us ask her for the grace to become more fervent and to become evangelists, and to spread the truth and the faith in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Praise be Jesus and Mary.